We would like to apologize for aspects of the technical performance of the following podcast.
This is John Cleese sitting in a hotel room in San Francisco. We're in the middle of the Californian college campus tour, and it's good to be back in contact again. And from now on, we'll be making these little broadcasts on a regular basis. So let me take you right back to New Zealand. We went to New Zealand. We flew there on my 66th birthday, the 27th of October, and we had far too little time to rehearse. Looking back on it, it was a minor miracle that we got the show together at all. But having that heavy operation in the summer for diverticulitis, I've got a hole in my tummy that's 11 and a half inches long, so it was pretty major surgery. That cut into the writing time and the rehearsal time. But anyway, we opened in the most delightful little slightly wild western town right down in the south of New Zealand called Invercargill, in a surprisingly beautiful theatre, just been reconditioned. And that was our first night, and we got a standing ovation, and they loved it. But of course, it was pretty... I forgot my lines about three or four times, several technical mistakes. And what we also noticed, of course, the show was much longer than we expected. I think the first half was something like 75 minutes. And the second half was more like 53 or something like that. So the first thing we started to do is to cut material, because we found some of the material just didn't work and some of it was a bit repetitive and the show was too long anyway. So the show that we run with now, which is, 3 months later here in California, is a 45-minute first half followed by a 45-minute second half. And then we take a short break and then I do Q&A. Which people seem to really enjoy too, and that lasts about half an hour. So the whole show is about 2 hours. But back to New Zealand. After that opening night in Invercargill, we made our way north up to Christchurch, which is a very nice, rather countrified English country town type of place. And we played 5 performances there, and by about the 4th or 5th performance, we were beginning to get a little bit of a polish on the show. And we liked Christchurch. We went to a couple of the wineries there. They make wonderful white wines in New Zealand. I'm not crazy about the reds, although there's some very good ones from the very top of the North Island. But the Sauvignon Blancs and the Rieslings are absolutely excellent. I wouldn't worry too much about the Central Otago Pinot Noirs if I was you. Then we went to Wellington, which is a fabulous little city. It's not very big. It's the capital. And it was built as a sort of a political capital. It's where the all the embassies are and all the foreign diplomats. And it's a very interesting city. It's the theatre city in New Zealand, apparently. I think Auckland would contest that, but that seems to be the general view. And we started there, and we got a fabulous review from the theatre critic for the Wellington paper, who is apparently considered to be the best critic in New Zealand and the one that has real authority in Australia. So that was really good for us. Got a very good view. It was particularly good for Camilla. In fact, the reviewer, who was a lady and therefore obviously prejudiced, said that I was going to have to get used to being referred to as Camilla Cleese's father. That was great. We did 4 shows in Wellington, and we just loved the place. Sophisticated, fun, bright, lively, and bloody windy all the time, but we were prepared to forgive that. Then we went to in the North Island. Wellington's right at the tip of the southern tip of the North Island. We then went into the North Island up to a place called Palmerston North, which Gary referred to as the suicide capital of New Zealand. And if you ever do want to kill yourself, but lack the courage, I think a visit to Palmerston North will do the trick. We stayed in a little motel. The weather was grotty. The hotel was the theatre was a nasty shape. The audience was very strange to play to. They laughed in the wrong places, and when we were expecting big laughs, they didn't laugh, and then they'd laugh at something we didn't think was funny. And we had a thoroughly bloody miserable time there, and we were so happy to get out. Then we went to Napier, which is up Sort of high up on the right-hand side of the North Island, a delightful town, which had a terrible earthquake in 1931. And they rebuilt the town in Art Nouveau style, Art Deco. And it's a fabulous little place. Not very big, but full of life and lots of great little cafes. And we loved the theater there. It was a perfect size. Got some great audiences. We were a bit rusty on the first show because one of the problems about this tour is that every night is a first night, or usually anyway. Certainly on the Californian tour, it's turning out that way. And of course, every theater is new and it takes a little time to learn how to play each theater in turn. And then every audience is new. Even if you're in the same town for one or two nights and you're getting used to the theater, you still find the audiences are different. Of course, I haven't actually done this on any kind of regular basis for an incredibly long time now. I mean, I did four days at the Hollywood Bowl with the Pythons in 1980. Prior to that, we were playing places like Drury Lane. We played there for several weeks in, I think that was in 1974, so it's a long time since I'd done this, but I've forgotten just how much audiences vary. And then we went up to Auckland, which is a good big city, well over a million, lots of facilities, great latte, the best coffee I've tasted for a long time, better than any coffee, if you can believe this, that I've had in California. Fabulous place. Slightly sprawly kind of city, but great to be there. Fantastically good restaurants. I've got to say the food in New Zealand is absolutely exceptional. And we played there, but the theater, we somehow managed to make it work, but the theater was too big. It was 2,300, and this little show is much the best when it's more intimate. You can play 1,200 or even 1,300 in the right theater, but the moment that the audience starts receding into the distance, you have to kind of start doing opera acting. You know, you can't throw lines away, and you can't walk around. You just have to stand there and do it out front, which is not my favorite kind of performing, because it just feels a bit crude and obvious. But we got away with playing a 2,300 theater, and we did five performances there. And at the end of it, we thought, well, we've actually done it. And I think we gave the audiences there more than value for their money, and we got very good reception. Then we went to Australia. That is the Cleese family, but a lot of the hangers-on, like Gary, went to Australia too. And some of them spent a fairly short time there, but we took a house. I was offered a nice, fat, well-paid commercial, so I blew all the money on taking a beautiful house up on Palm Beach, which is about 45 minutes out of Sydney. We all fell in love with Sydney. It's a fantastic city. I think I could live there. It's big, it's sparky, it's bright, it's culturally very sophisticated, wonderful restaurants, very, very friendly people, and a little more extroverted than the New Zealanders. I did a couple of sort of speeches there, not shows, but speeches, and I immediately noticed you got more reaction from the audiences. New Zealand was very good, but they just seemed to be a little bit looser. Somebody said New Zealand's more British, Australia's becoming a little more American. It was interesting. And we stayed there for 3 weeks, and I virtually immediately had to get down to rewriting the New Zealand show for the California campuses. And so we got back to California about the 10th of January, and we did our first performance 17 days later at UCLA. And we did a cracking good performance on the Friday at Campbell Hall, which is on the UCSB campus. And that was terrific. And we had 400 or 500 students in the audience. And they were very friendly and full of energy. And we just got a terrific reception. And then we had to do one of those charity ones, you know, to raise funds for the UCSB Arts and Lectures Program, which is a fabulous program run by a great friend of mine called Celeste Bellecci, and is responsible for about 2/3 of the great speakers and performers and entertainers who seem to come to Santa Barbara on a regular basis. But it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the audience was full of rather elderly rich people who I don't think would have bought tickets, but they just turned up because they wanted to support the event. And it was hard to time off them, and I got anxious anxious. I got nervous in the middle of the first half. And it was odd. I could feel my timing was off. But the second half was really good. So we felt we'd done a good show by the time we finished. And then we had a day off and we did another show on the Monday, which was much better. It was almost as good as the Friday show. But not quite the same audience reaction, because you don't get 55-year-olds making as much noise as you do 20-year-olds. But it was a sophisticated audience, thoroughly enjoyed it. And then we had a couple of college dates right up in the northern part of California. We thought that it was going to take us something like 11 hours to get up to Humboldt, maybe 10. And in the end, it took us 20, because the weather, early February, was very bad. There'd been mudslides. Well, we set off at 9:30 from Santa Barbara in this beautiful big coach, just like the ones the rock bands use, with bunks in the middle of it so you can go and snooze. And we got about an hour from the place we were going to spend the night, and there was a mudslide between us and it, and we had to do a detour that took another 5 hours. That was to get to Eureka. And the next day we jumped back on the bus and it took another 5 hours to get to Humboldt. But it was worth it, because Humboldt's one of those theaters like the Wellington Theater that is and Napier, which is exactly the right size, exactly the right shape, and really, I think, the best audience we've ever had. A peculiar aroma coming from the audience, quite a pleasant one. Somebody suggested it might be all the cheese. We have a cat named after, well, all our cats are named after cheeses. I've probably told you that, but we have a Humboldt Fog. But it was a fabulous performance. We got off thinking this is a really, really funny show. And then we jumped on the bus the next day and went to the show in Chico, which is a little bit south of Humboldt and more in the middle of that valley, not so far from the coast. And we did a good show there. The theater was a bit narrow and a bit long, so there was a sort of lot of travel time, and it was hard on stage to know whether the audience was still laughing or not. We couldn't hear the audience reaction as well as we'd like. So the timing, I thought, was a little bit uncertain. And I got thrown, when you have to really, really listen to the audience and think, are they going to go for this one, or are they not going to go for this one? Because, you know, you have to keep the pace up, but at the same time, you don't want to speak into the laugh, because that often stops them from laughing, or either they go on laughing, they can't hear what you said, and you have to stop and repeat it, which can be a little bit inelegant if it's not handled well. So it was tricky to play, and I fluffed 3 or 4 times, which annoyed me. You know, I just said words that were not quite accurate, and I put a couple of words in a couple of times, because I was, as I said, distracted by the difficulty of timing off the audience. But we got a standing ovation. At the end, we did a very good second half, and then after the Q&A, there was another standing ovation. So I have to tell you, I don't think they minded. I think they were happy with it. But after Humboldt, which really was so good, I felt a little bit disappointed that we'd dropped 10%. But that's the problem when most nights are a first night. So we've changed a bit of the material. The first 3 nights or so, I kept in a piece that I'd written specially for the Californian tour that was about class in England. But there's a funny thing about American audiences. I think if they hear a word like class, they immediately think, oh, I'm not going to understand this. And they kind of tune you out till you get onto something. And they say, oh, yes, okay, we're with you again. And although I'd written it pretty carefully so that it was all explained, we just felt that they weren't comfortable with the idea of class, which is strange because obviously there is a class system in America, even though it's based on money in a way the English one isn't. So we cut that, and we were told by the UCSB audience in the Q&A, why didn't you mention Fawlty Towers? Because I didn't think it was so well known in England. You see, in Australia and New Zealand, I'm better known for Fawlty Towers, the sitcom set in a hotel, than I am for Monty Python. So we've replaced the class section with a section on Fawlty Towers, and I think we're going to keep it in. We were surprised that some of the people at Chico didn't know this series, because, of course, the audience only comes if they like my work. They don't think, who is this guy, John Cleese, never heard of him, must buy tickets. And they don't think, I hate John Cleese's work and always thought he was a stuck-up, nasty, pompous prig, so let's run out and buy a dozen tickets. So basically, the audiences are pre-selected for people who like my work. And we were puzzled that at Chico there were so few. I mean, something like 40-45% of the audience knew of Fawlty Towers, the others didn't. UCSB, 98% of them knew about 40 Towers. So we're going to put the 40 Towers section in at Berkeley in a couple of days' time. We've got two performances there. Looking forward to that, because it'll probably be the smartest audience we've ever played. Although the theatre's a little big, it's 1,800, which, as I say, is big for us, yeah. And we'll see how that bit of material goes. But the second half is a cracker. It's funny all the way through. And it's just a question of making sure that the last 10 minutes of the first half are as good as we can make them. But there don't seem to be any complaints so far, so I might be being a bit overcritical. Anyway, we'll be doing another one of these soon. Hope you find this informative. If you've got any questions, put them on the website. I'll try and answer them in the next broadcast. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by funk.co.uk in association with Gareth Scott Irvine. Visit thejohnclees.com. Thank you for listening.